Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing left but the truth, baby. Can't forget about the love. I'd rather add to the fumes, baby. 'Cause ain't no fire stopping us. Even when we say we're done, I always tell you you're the one. Everybody thinks we're crazy,
and they're probably right.
Tempers start to flaring up every time that we erupt. Baby, 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 baby,
that's what real love's like. 'Cause we just keep going up, keep going up. We keep going up in flames.
There's nothing else that I can do, baby.
'Cause we just keep going up, we keep going up in flames.
But keep on burning up with you, baby. Smoke be filling up the room, baby. Suffocated by your love. I can't breathe without you, baby.
before I give it up. Even when we say we're done, I always tell you you're the one. And everybody thinks we're crazy,
and they're probably right.
Tempers start to flaring up every time that we erupt.
Cause we just keep going up, keep going up. We keep going up in flames.
There's nothing else that I can do, baby.
Cause we just keep going up, keep going up. We keep going up in flames.
But keep on burning up with you, baby. Nothing else that I can do, baby.
Cause we just
keep going up, keep going up. We keep going up in flames. But keep on burning up with you, baby.
Whatever. so well blended together, and we be a perfect planted black love display, rooted by the riverside as we lay next to each other, soaking up love's sun rays. And we kiss so lovingly that no one says anything. But that's an example of pure love. Yes, pure love. I love you. I love you. And that's that peace. So tonight, y'all, it's open mic. You're free to bring whatever kind of peace you like tonight on Let's Talk About It. Because I really want us to dive into the topic and really engage and just talk about it, you know? So, let's go ahead and bring in our first poet of the evening. She is one half host of The Love Zone, one half host of Poetic Therapy, one fourth host of The Soul Cafe. Ladies and gentlemen, La Pearl, La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Van. Well, first, okay. Wow. You caught me off guard with this topic. I haven't really been on Facebook today or yesterday, actually. I didn't even pay attention to what the topic was. But,
that's
man.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow. This is deep. My opinion?
Absolutely.
My opinion, well, you know what, I think it has a lot to do with the numerical ratio between men and women. There's clearly much more women than there are men, especially since they lock a lot of them up and they kill a lot of them. Another thing, it's a label attached to this rule that if you're independent or if you express your sexual independence, most men won't, they won't want anything to do with you, or that type of woman isn't desired by society standards, you know, so it's better to be demure or be more of the homemaker role, you know, being that mindset of I need to be taken care of. I think this is why women are groomed, you know, as young women, to be wise. And as far as the men go, the men have been more so celebrated regardless of what they do. It's like it doesn't matter whether he picks one woman or if he picks 1,000 women.
Okay.
He's because the mindset is, he's going to be desired and sought after anyway. So it doesn't really matter. And I think that plays a big role in why they aren't groomed to be husbands. And that's all I can do.
So to your point, a lot of men are incarcerated, right?
Right. Yes.
Now, if they had been taught as a boy, you are to be a provider for your family. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, the population of men that are incarcerated, that percentage would have decreased?
I would hope that it would, but the way society is, it's set up for them to get locked up. And regardless of how well they've been,
I have to agree with that.
For that, but honestly, no, I don't think so. And it doesn't have anything to do with them and how they were groomed. It's just the way that life goes, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's always been like that. They've always targeted men. So, no, I don't think so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I appreciate that, La Pearl, nigga. Thank you so much for caught off guard. I like it when you're caught off guard because that means that we get an honest answer, you know, an honest thought. And I'm not just saying
y'all
just you, but
out of
in general. I'm not saying just you, but I'm just saying it's more pure and more raw, because
right.
you're aren't really ready. You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
I appreciate that. Okay, guys. Okay,
thank
okay.
You.
Okay. Jeez. Man, I'm getting hounded by you.
Oh,
I can't even call them. I can't even call them my security team. I'm getting hounded. Bro, she just got on the mic. She just got on the mic. Okay. All right. Now, what piece would you like to drop on us tonight?
All right. I ain't going to do that nasty piece I did last night. that was for the moment, but I'm going to do a little something. I tweaked it a little bit. Okay, let me get comfortable. All right. I got something for you.
All right.
Thank you. This is called The Rainbow in My Blue Sky. I knew he was broken when we met because he once asked, how do you go back to being strangers with one who has seen your soul? I love him, so I told him, I don't know. But what I do know is that you can't reach what's in front of you until you release what's behind you. I love him because his presence is my smile when I want to cry or frown. His voice is like foreplay. I can't help but blush. The time is never abundant to our time together, so only in my head are we never apart. But that doesn't diminish my love for him in reality's awakened state, because everything about him is just. His principles breathe life to my mental. He stays true to his convictions. Oh, how I admire his strength. He's dedicated, loyal, and loving my heart, and has brought me unspeakable joy. We once were strangers. Now he's the cleansing drops of rain in my storm clouds. And when the sun peeks through, he is the rainbow in my blue sky. And that's it.
Oh, wow. Man, I love that piece right there. It has nature and elements through it, and I dig those kind of pieces. It's like pure poetry. And this is a beautiful piece,
yeah.
Carola Negra. Beautiful piece.
Oh, thank you.
Rainbows and heavenly skies. Man, I like this. I like this.
Okay.
Now, let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let me see. Every other Saturday, I host Poetic Therapy with Stan the Man Phillips. And that is always open mic. You just bring whatever's on your mind. It's a place to relieve your mental stress. And that is every other Saturday at 9 p.m. Monday night, I am one fourth host of Soul Cafe with the CEO of Epiphany, author Larry Matta. Essentially Johnny's Poetic. Monday nights at 9, y'all come through because we do a second half of the show where we call Pick Up Your Pen, and that helps you tap into your creative side. Wednesday nights at 9, I host Love Zone with my lovely co-host, my diva, respect yourself, Miss VIP. Now, I don't have a topic for you guys. I really don't. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'll come up with something, and I'm sure you guys are going to love it. So y'all come on by Wednesday nights at 9, get caught up in the love zone.
Absolutely. Just don't ask that station manager of yours for no more topics. Because, ooh, that topic y'all had this week.
God.
Oh,
Lord
gracious.
I have to. I'm apprehensive about asking him because I always know,
man,
it's going to be something racy. I thought I was bad, but oh man, y'all. Yeah.
All right. Well, I have to move you along the security team is anxiously awaiting your arrival in the VIP lounge.
Here I come, fellas.
You know, we're back into a regular routine, so they're okay. I'm not getting any more death threats. Everything is going good. I'm not being hemmed up in the alleys no more. So, you know, yeah. So go on over there to the lounge and stick around and enjoy the rest of the show.
I told them not to bother you no more. I'm glad they're listening. Now they get rewarded.
Absolutely. Whew. All right.
Hey, one love, one mic.
That's that new bubbly that's going around, and I'm not sure you might have time to sip it, but okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge, La Pearl, La Negra. Hey, y'all, if y'all see the curtains drawing, don't even venture in there unless I'm just saying, just watch yourself. All right, y'all, next up on the mic, we got Rain. Hey, Rain. How you doing, love?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm well. Are we just gonna skip right over commenting on your piece tonight?
If you'd like to.
We just gonna just slide right past that. I'm just saying it was beautiful. We just gonna slide right on by that and act like we didn't hear what we heard. I think you called Mahogany the Love Doctor the other day, like a couple weeks ago.
He is, man.
Right?
That's who he is, you know.
That was a little Love Doctor-ish. On your piece. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate
you
that.
You just
going to
close it out with a few I love yous. And go ahead.
Yeah, that is my my favorite genre to write in, and any pieces that ends with the two I love yous will be in my fifth book, the Book of Love. That's why they have I love yous at the end of them, because they're going to be a part of that book. So you caught that.
I love it. I dig it. You know, I'll be hearing. I'll be paying attention.
Appreciate that. How you doing? You doing okay? You doing all right?
You know, it's been a week, but yeah. I mean, you and J-Rob definitely were the highlight of my week.
I'm glad. Thank you so much.
Today I'm actually going to be sharing something today that's very raw. Like, I haven't finessed this at all. So.
Oh my goodness! Yes. Oh, I love that. Yes. I love it.
I'm waiting for some Baltimore. I'm listening for some Baltimore. Come through
and two and Doug.
When I first moved to Baltimore, I heard 92Q and that was it.
Oh yeah, that's the station.
I was like, what is a Q?
Yeah.
I was like, how are they pronouncing Q? But yeah, so.
Baltimore's a whole vibe. But what Rain is talking about, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed the Get Down on Thursday night with J. Rob the Wise Son and yours truly, Poetic, and our guest host Rebel P. Jones, y'all missed an amazing show. You got to go back and catch that in the archives. Because Rain came through and she did this piece, and my goodness, she had all of us a little tongue-tied, a little twisted, temperature was raised, and one of the hosts had to bring out a piece to compliment her piece, because it was just that good, but
one of them.
Yeah. I'm not going to say which one, but one. You got to listen to the archives to hear which one. But dynamic.
Speaking of Rebel P, did you see that he just wrote a somewhat erotic piece?
What? No, I didn't see it yet. I like surprises. I did not see it yet. Nope. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to look for it after this show. Ooh. I can't wait.
Okay, yeah,
I can't wait.
I'm derailing. It's just so.
You good. You perfect. I'm good. I needed that. But tonight, let's talk about it. What are your thoughts? Why is it that girls are groomed to be wives, but boys aren't groomed to be husband when they're young?
So,
why do you think that is?
Now, before today, I saw your question, is it I do or I don't, and I was like, I don't. and then I saw your question today. So you made some very valid points. I think, you know, I grew up in a single mother household. I think nowadays, though, we have to really determine what does a husband look like and what does a wife look like, because that's not the same in every household. And
right.
So I think that these labels and these ideas of, you know, I know that traditionally the man is the provider, and, I mean, that's what my grandmother and my grandfather, you know, he provided. She was a stay-at-home mom, but that's not what most homes look like these days.
Absolutely.
So I think
that,
you know, I think if we normalize just letting kids be who they are, that would probably open up some things. I think that holding women hostage to this normalization of this is what a woman does and men to what this is what a man does. So I guess I don't know. I don't really have an answer. I just think that
I hear your point. However, my question tonight doesn't actually come from the traditional roles per se. It's more of a, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. She's single. She doesn't want any kids. And she was sparing my stem cells, if you must. And I said to her, I said, why do you want to be a wife? You don't want a family. You don't want any kids. But why did you want to be a wife? Because it kind of goes against the code. Right. You know, it goes against.
It's a legitimate question. Yeah, it's a legitimate question.
So, you know, and she's like, well, that's what I want since I was a little girl. I wanted to be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, aha.
We really
want to
be brides. We really want to be brides. That's what we want. We don't necessarily
want
to be a wife. We want the wedding.
Right. So
we want the fairy tale.
So, exactly. And being married twice, I know that there's no such thing as a fairy tale when it comes to marriage.
It's a damn lie. It's all a lie.
I will probably, if someone were to talk to me before they got married, I would let them know it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful union only if the two of you are totally sold out and committed to working that union. And what I mean by that is when you get married, there is no one else in, there is no one else out. It's just you two when it comes to your union. Everyone else is always going to have an opinion about, oh, well, you shouldn't do this. He shouldn't do that. She shouldn't do this. Everyone is
always,
right, everybody, always. But it's a beautiful thing as long as the two of you are sold out and so committed on making this thing work at all costs, it could be a beautiful thing. It's not going to be peaches and cream.
I wrote a little snippet on what I wrote. So I've been really struggling to write lately. So Tila Shell posted if I Had My Way by Chrisette Michelle. Yesterday or the day.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
And it. So it took me back in the day when I used to write little snippets, like little short things, and I used to call them raindrops.
Okay.
So anyway, I wrote a whole piece on the concept tonight, but I wrote a line specifically that doesn't go in my piece about this, and it said, if I had my way, we could have it all without the need to hold another hostage on a page full of legal promises that have nothing to do with the connection between two. So do I really need to have a piece of paper? Do I need to hold somebody hostage on a piece of paper just to have a commitment?
Well, you know, here's my thing about that piece of paper. That piece of paper is security. Here's why it's security. Without that piece of paper, you're not entitled to certain benefits. That piece of paper is security for the two of you to be entitled to certain benefits. Now, you don't need the paper because they passed a law some years ago about if you've been together for XYZ amount of time, then it's what is it called?
Common law marriage.
Common law marriage, right?
But there's power of attorney. There's things that you can put on paper that doesn't have to be easily
dissolved. Still not the same. Mm-hmm. And I like what Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer mm-hmm. said on the War Council. He said it's a business arrangement, and any business arrangement has to have mm-hmm. a contract, and that document is a contract, which is why it is necessary, because in the court of law, sometimes that verbal commitment and that handshake just won't do. So,
but there are other contracts that can be had. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it took me 5 years, 6 years to get a divorce. So I'm just
man,
saying,
heck
it's
no.
just a long
only reason
time.
Why my, only reason, man, I wish my divorce from my second wife would have been instant. Only reason why that took so long is because I fought for custody of my kids. That's the only reason why that divorce took long. We would
have
been divorced probably six months to a year prior had she not got in front of the judge and showed her entire behind. But that's a whole other story. We're not here for
that's
me. We're not here. So.
I get it. But yes, I'm with you. I surrender. Okay.
I like that. Y'all, did y'all hear that? Rain said she surrenders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she surrenders.
You might want to record that because that doesn't happen very often.
It's recorded, honey. Oh, it's recorded. It's recorded. Uh-huh, it's for the uh-huh. whole world to hear. So what you got for us tonight?
So this piece is called If I Have My Way, and again, it's very raw. It needs to be finessed, and I will. I just needed to get something out. So.
All right. The mic is yours.
If I had my way, love wouldn't be so complex. The past wouldn't insist on clutching to the hem of every memory I've worked so hard to forget. Having a beautiful heart, intelligent mind, and a witty sense of humor would trump a fat ass, thick hips and thighs. Conversations on fiscal responsibility, spending habits, and evolving credit scores would be normalized in factors in future planning, opposed to going with the flow and hoping for the best. Small talk would be banished from every conversation. Peeling back layers would be the coveted art form every lover was inclined to learn. If I had my way, he'd memorize the sound of my heartbeat. He'd know it was home and would always know exactly where to find me. Intimacy would be what grounds us, where the outside world ceases to exist, and those intentional sacred moments shared provide a different kind of bliss. Sexual compatibility wouldn't even need to be a conversation because our bodies converse in languages we could never translate, nor would we try. We just enjoy mastering new dialects. Our chemistry would sound like our souls colliding, merging, becoming one. Sexual alchemy would taste like limbs intertwined in a tantric slow wine. Would all be effortless. If I had my way, I never again would be the one he let get away. He'd recognize before it's too late that I'm one of a kind, where the sad familiar song of taking me for granted would not be played on repeat. Asking for forgiveness again and again with a mouthful of regrets would be as exhausting for him as it is to me. Games would be safe for a friendly chess match or perhaps some spades or bones. The table would never be set for a game of hearts. That I'll never have to cut ties and walk away because being done means I'm done. Because when a woman's fed up, well, you know how the song goes. If I had my way, communication working towards comprehension would be the norm. Jealousy and insecurities checked at the door. Love languages would be discovered, honored, and expressed with respect and admiration for the differences that may exist. Grace and understanding given when we find ourselves human imperfectly. Time would never be taken for granted, always spent wisely and forever cherished. Striving to be in good health would be a top priority, never taken lightly. Delicious food and poetry would always be creative outlets and opportunities to share. Traveling would be a regular occurrence, exploring new places and experiencing other cultures. If I had my way, I'd be ready for all of this. Perhaps there's a he out there that would be ready too. Rest that peace.
My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. So all of that if you had your way, huh? All of that?
I have my way. All of that.
All of that.
All of that. All of it. Sometimes I think it's too much to ask.
Nah, that was beautiful. That was... I mean, I'm sitting here trying to figure out why you don't have your way, because if, you know, the world would be a better place if you had your way, according to all of this. I mean, jeez.
Yeah, my world.
I mean, food and poetry together. Oh, my God. You're starting something.
That could only be appreciated by somebody that cooks.
You want to be starting something? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I cooked the night for my kids, man. I cooked the night for my kids.
I know you did. You did your life in the kitchen.
Yeah, you know where I was. You know where I was. They wanted to eat all day. I got them for the next 3 weeks. I'm trying to figure out, you know, who gonna be doing all this cooking? Cause.
Mm-hmm. You better start making some big shareable meals.
Listen, it's four of them here. Okay, it's four of them. I thought I made a big shareable meal tonight, but that ain't making it till tomorrow. At this point, I'm going to be in the kitchen again tomorrow trying to figure out dinner for tomorrow. Jeez. But
but
that was a beautiful piece, Rain.
Thank you.
And I like the rawness of it. Sometimes I'll share something about when I write. When I write, I never go back over my pieces. And I deliberately, in every single one of my pieces, to make sure that you're reading it, I deliberately mess up a word, deliberately, so that I know that you read it, because you'll come to me and you'll let me know, hey, you know, you kind of messed up here. And I do that deliberately to see if you're really reading my pieces when I post them. But I say that to say this, that sometimes your poetry in its rawest form, no tweaks, no additions, no subtractions, is necessary and is not meant to be tweaked. Because after you do it and you hear it, you realize, you know what? It's fine as it is. So I think it was beautifully done. I don't think it needs to be tweaked.
I appreciate you. I do. Thank you, Van.
No, you're more than welcome. More than welcome. Now, the VIP lounge is awaiting you. The bubbly is over there. Nice champagne. I got this champagne from Switzerland. So,
I'm going to need it after Danielle's piece last night. She showed out last night. So
I'm sure.
I'm going to need a drink. Listen, it was long, too. It was long.
You know.
And
it was long? And drippy?
It was long
and
drippy. Like raw drippy.
Okay.
Like drip, drip, gang, drip, drip, all that.
Gang, drip, drip. Okay. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I have to check it out.
So
thank you for the space.
Get over there in that VIP
lounge.
Listen, absolutely, it's my pleasure. But there's a VIP section with a curtain drawn. That's where Danielle is with the security team. I'd be careful of that area if I was you. I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go on the other side.
All right. Appreciate
keep it safe
you.
Tonight.
There you go. Good. That's
have
good.
A good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, you two, on her way to the VIP lounge, it's Rain. Continue to take your socks off, baby. All right, y'all. We're going to go from Rain to my go-go brother, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. What's good with you, bro? Mr. Automatic, are you muted? Brother, you muted? We're going to move from Mr. Automatic and go down to our good brother, Joe, the Verbal Mind Dancer. What's good with you, Joe?
Hey, what's good? What's good, Brother Van? What's happening, Poetic?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. It's a nice Saturday night. You know, we're doing date night, man. And I got Joe, the Verbal Mind Dancer, up in here, man. It's a great night, man. It's a great night. What can I say? How you feeling, man?
Oh, I'm feeling great, man. Fantastic. Absolutely.
Awesome. Now, I'm very curious about this topic from you, brother, because I love your wisdom, man. I love your wisdom. So the question for the evening is, why is it that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife, but boys are not taught to be husbands? What's your thoughts on that, Joe?
Well, I think it's, it's cut, you know, seems like humanity, as far that part goes, we cut down to our basic elements. It's like these cicadas out here running around for a mate. You know, we crimp and preen, you know, we try to be the best, you know, alpha male type thing, you know, to look for a mate. That's all, that seems to be what we're bred for, is just to find a mate. Nothing else, just find a mate. And then you move on from there and look for the next best thing. But we're not taught to, pick one unless you're, unless you're some king over some faraway land and, you know, a bride is picked for, you know, because of tradition or something like that. But, America's not. Well, that tradition has been broken when we were broken from torn from where we were. So,
wow,
you know, men are not taught to be husbands and all that. Providing, you know, we taught to be providers, but it's basically, you know, take care of ourselves. You know,
right. You know, and I had said in my point, a single mom can't teach a man to be a husband. How you feel about that? What are your thoughts there? Because, you know, and Danielle made a very valid point about the men being incarcerated too. I mean, it was just so much that was pointed out. But the single mother household.
Well, see, now I know, a good friend of my family, you know, he was raised, you know, I remember him from a baby. And he was raised as a single mom, but he grew up to be a good husband, because she taught him how to be a good husband. But she exposed him to the world at a young age. I mean, you name it, he was exposed to it. And they communicate. Yeah, a woman can raise a man to be a good husband, because, you know, she can express how she wants to be treated. And a lot of times, you see how she's treated, like with boyfriends and all that, how they treat it. Now, you know, there's some friend of the family comes over every now and then. Pretty soon, you know, if you get close to that cat, and, you know, he kind of treats y'all right, treat the mama right. You know, you can kind of see from the example, you know, okay, this is what it takes to be, you know, this, that, and other. But a lot of times they don't have that. So, you know, it's a crapshoot, honestly. But we didn't know there is no form that's sent out for us.
Right.
How to be a good husband. We're conquerors. We're more conquerors than anything.
You know,
notches on your belt type shit.
Right. And, you know, it's just interesting, man, because, you know, as I was talking to the sister, and I was just like, yo, it was like, you don't want a family. You don't want any kids. Why do you want to be a wife? You know? And one of the things that she said, which piqued my interest a little deeper, she said that even without those things, she, as a wife, she wanted to be the kind of woman that enhances her husband. And I was like, I was like, what? I was like, wait, say that again. Say that again. She said, I want to be the kind of woman, the kind of wife that enhances my husband. And I was like, Most women that are wives are stuck in the biblical sense that they only supposed to be a helpmate.
Yeah. You're right. I was getting ready to raise that point when you said that. A lot of it is, what the Bible teaches us as well.
Right.
You know, be subservient sort of thing, you know.
Wow.
It's just not
how
it
wow.
is. And so it's kind of hard to say, you know. There's a plethora of reasons why, you know, men are not taught to be husbands.
Right.
I mean, we're taught to have a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not a man unless you've got a woman, or, you know. Or some of us, you know, think you've got multiple women and that you just shit, but, you know, you some shit.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. No, absolutely. Hey, man. All right. What piece did you bring for us tonight, man? It's open mic, man. I dig your pieces, man. So what you got for us?
Well, I got something called Basic Love. It's not real long, but it's called Basic Love.
All right, brother. The mic is yours.
When the turn of color on leaves glow, when the first frost etches art on a pane, I'm thankful for the love in me that stares. When my neck stings from a ball of snow, I hear the giggling eyes behind the cover of home. I'm thankful for understanding. I did that too. I love the smell of plans for a feast. I thank goodness for family. I thank goodness for the ability to express what most hearts are at rest. I dream of love. Sometimes a cloud is just a cloud. When you love for love's sake, it will never be that plain. My heart is influenced by joy and pain. I'm thankful for sun and rain. I'm thankful my mind is arranged to act on love. From the littlest change of nature to a catastrophic disaster, basic love comes together. I'm thankful I can see it. I'm hopeful we can be it. Know love, and you will receive it. It's my piece.
Oh, man, Joe. Man. Hey, man, this is a really, really deep and nice piece, bro. Basic love, man. Where were you when you wrote this, man? Where was you in your mind?
Actually, this is one of the poems that I just published in the Year of the Poet, the November edition.
Okay.
This is, we were writing about the tree of life, so to speak.
Gotcha.
That was one of the three that I, was published in the book, so it's basic love.
Hey, man, I love that, man. I appreciate that, Joe. We appreciate that, man. This is my first time hearing this piece, man, and he said a lot of truths in there, man. A lot of stuff for us to think about. Dope ink, bro. As always, man. Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer never disappoints, y'all. Short or long, he never disappoints. Dope ink, Joe.
I appreciate you, man. Appreciate.
I appreciate you, man. Absolutely. So my brother, now I got to send you an over to that VIP lounge, man, to grab your glass of that bubbly. And stick around and enjoy the rest of the show.
Absolutely, brother. Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
All right, but thank you, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my brother, Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, on his way to the VIP lounge with that dope, dope ink. Let's get back, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. Brother, are you here?
What's up?
Mr. Automatic.
Hey, what's up, my go-go brother? That go-go my music go-go be cracking, yo.
Yeah, man. Glad to hear you, bro. Glad to hear you, bro.
Man, you know what, brother? You know what, brother? Man, you sometimes I just need to hear from one of my brothers. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man.
You know what I mean? Even when you're going through bad stuff, telling you here, like, you know, you're like fam. So, you know what I mean? So
yes, sir, brother.
I love, you know? So I'm like, man, shit. I just wanted to call and support you, you know what I mean, and what you do, you know what I'm saying? So, man, it's just, and I'm going to call tomorrow, and I'm going to call in the freestyle artist, Divine Inspiration.
Oh, there you go, Divine Inspiration.
The dopest,
yes, sir.
The dopest freestyle artist ever, ever. Divine Inspiration. Oh, he did,
yes,
one.
Sir,
he's going to do another one. He did. He think he's slick. He think he's slick. He going to do it when I ain't there. Nah, I'm going to be here. It's fine. And try to be slick. I'm going to be here this time. The witnesses. You know,
absolutely.
The congregation.
You got to,
yeah.
Bro. You got to, man. You got to. But
the congregation
going
to be here.
Absolutely. But let's jump into this question, man. I want to hear your perspective, man, on this topic tonight,
okay.
Man. So why do you think that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife, but boys are not taught to be husbands? Why do you think that is, bro?
Well, I think that, especially for black men, we learn a lot through life. We're taught how to be a husband. It's like the foundation, the rock. The whole earth holds everything. And when you're learning, men are getting incarcerated, shot, especially black men, and with less black fathers, it's harder for brothers to even know how to be husbands. I think that, the mother could teach for so much, and God bless her. But it takes a man to really teach a boy how to be a man. God bless the women who can teach as much as they can, but they really need to be around good men.
Right.
I think as far as women, they come a time, they support their man, and just and whatever they do. As far as like so learning how to be united as one, when that wife is learning how to protect their man, being behind her man, like that's that foundation, a good wife, like a Coretta Scott King and a Betty Shabazz.
Two great wives.
I believe that Malcolm X said, a man should never have to bring his work at home. You should never have to bring his problems at home. His peace is supposed to be at home.
Peace will be at home.
Yeah.
I agree with that, man, wholeheartedly, man. Appreciate you for giving your perspective on the topic, bro. I really do, man. Now, I'm anxious to hear this.
I'm sorry. That's a city horn.
Okay. So what piece you want to drop on us tonight? It's open mic, so what you got for me?
Yeah, I need this, man. This is called the Black Kingdom.
Mic is yours.
All hail to the black wonderful. Words are so phenomenal and powerful. In these days where you're trying to be responsible, you got a job and you keep your head up. But I guess in these days where you just seem like you're fed up, leads on the call, put you right on the wall. You take a deep breath and then you pause. Is this the call? Is this the end? Will your life be moving like the wind? Will the bullets ever spray? I guess in these days with the words that you have to say, like a black kingdom, please remove these chains off me. I'm trying to be a black man to hold the job and protect my family. But when the anger from my hotel is trying to keep me from to prevail, saying that I'm not supposed to be mad, Now let me go ahead and put gravity to that. I am not the slave. I am not here to say, yes, sir, master. I'm a master of my own domain. So go ahead and break these chains. Living in your lane when people are trying to give you a migraine. Now you felt the pain and you felt the anger. You felt this world when you're going right through danger. You see the silence and the violence on TV. That's like everything. In this life, it's not pretty. You see the times of the environment. You see the hate is for the requirement. And this is a time when black is in chains and rearranged. It's like so much of an awful thing. But you can breathe once and be black of the remainder. You say, I hold the black kingdom. No matter what you do to me, I'm black universe. No matter what you say to me, I'm black universe. No matter if you bring the racist soldiers to try to destroy me, I'm a black universe. The black kingdom is so wise, and it abolishes all the lies. No compromise here, my words are clear. And if you all want to know about being black, baby, I'll take you there. Black kingdom, open up the castle. And people are out here trying to hassle. We keep these words, and words are appreciated. And I'll hold my hands to help my black community for all my thoughts communicated. Miss Automatic Charismatic, the lyrical mention, 10 kids in the morning, black and dry.
Yes, sir, my brother. I felt your frustration in that piece, man. Your words, the delivery. You got to continue being Black King, bro. You got to.
Thank you. That's a great shot. It's good. It's divine inspiration. You know, that's a brief. I'm trying to be on y'all level. I'm trying to be level.
You the one that
got y'all freestyle kings.
Nah, man. That's all you, player. That's all you, player.
You know I'll be messing
that
with you,
man. That is you.
You know I'll be messing with you, man.
You know, man, you know that's all you, man. You know that ain't definitely ain't nothing.
Yeah, okay. You know, it's a Baltimore thing. It's a whole Baltimore poet's got to learn how to freestyle.
Man, listen, I write too much to freestyle. I write too much to freestyle, man. You know, I have my moments. I have my moments where I can get in it and do it, but very rarely will you see a freestyle. Very rarely. But
all right.
All right, my go-go brother.
Nothing is on you.
Oh, that's a low blow, bro.
I'm
going to
call
in
tomorrow because I want to see y'all freestyle. I'm going to call in tomorrow. Yes.
All right, my go-go brother. Hey, man, stick around.
All right, that go-go
going to
be cracking, Sally.
All right, brother, ladies and gentlemen, that is my go-go brother, Mr. Automatic Charismatic, on his way to the VIP lounge. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, let's talk about it. Well, we do date night differently. The dial-in number, if you're listening online, is 319-527-6300. By all means, please press 1. I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, and tonight, we're asking the question, why is it that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife and boys are not taught to be husbands? So, want to hear your thoughts about it.
What's up? This is your girl, Benita Applebaum, and you are listening to Epiphany Radio.
All right. Next up, let's bring in Miss Lips. Hey, Lisa Lips. How you doing, honey?
All right. How are you, baby?
I'm doing pretty good. No complaints. It's nice Saturday night. I got some dynamic poets hitting the mic tonight, answering the topic question of the evening. We doing date night differently. You know, We just hanging out. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Absolutely.
How you doing? You
I
doing
always
all right?
Enjoy your, I always enjoy your energy. You always put out such great energy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, listen, I can't just date myself. I mean, I got to have some type of energy for y'all, right? You know?
That's very true. That's very true.
But you doing all right? Everything going okay in your world?
Yeah, I have been immersing myself more in the poet's life and listening to more yes. diverse voices and trying to
yes.
expand what I do.
Yes, that is what it's all about. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Welcome back. You're making a splash, honey. You are making a splash. Listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, before we get to the poetry aspect of Miss Lips, is it okay if we talk about it? Is it okay?
Definitely.
So what are your thoughts? Why is it that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife, but boys are not taught to be husbands? What are your thoughts?
I think it all is stemmed from biblical issues. Men in the Bible are taught to be universal, to conquer the world. Women are taught
okay.
to take care of the men.
Okay.
You know, and so, and the definitions then were completely different because a man could have many wives, but a woman
mm-hmm.
could only have one husband. So he wasn't supposed to be responsible for her needs because there were several of them. They were always responsible for his.
You know what? That raises a very interesting point. I wouldn't have survived. It's hard today's time, present day, trying to take care of one with everything that goes on between emotions, physical, mental, spiritual. Women are complex beings by genetic makeup. And it's hard to take care of one. Don't Solomon had like 700. I like look
I know,
girl.
But he
girl.
Didn't have to take care of any girl. Of them though. That was the point.
This
he
is true.
He had
this
to provide
true.
For them, but he didn't have to
provide
be
for them. Right.
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 There was no emotional
right.
need for him to look out for them.
Right. I just don't understand. There are those that could, but I just don't think that I'm built for that, you know. The idea of it sounds fun. But when I look at the dynamics of the two marriages that I've been in, they were emotional draining for me. Whew, my God.
Right. But honestly,
but yeah.
in any of those scenarios in the Bible, when do you hear any man speak about his emotions for a woman?
You don't.
You hear about his lust and desires, but there's no emotion
yep.
in any of it.
Yep. Absolutely. Very, very valid points. Thank you. Thank you for your commentary and your thoughts on this topic. I didn't know how the topic was going to be received. This topic just came from a conversation I had with a friend. So, but I really appreciate the way y'all are engaging and really, you know, giving it your honest thoughts. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now tell me, Miss Lips, it's open mic tonight. What piece did you bring for us tonight?
So this is a piece that I wrote some while ago for someone that I was involved with, actually. And when I wrote this piece was early on in knowing him. But as time passed, we grew a lot closer, but
okay.
he became very ill, and eventually after about 3 years I lost him. But this
oh,
was
sorry.
Our initial time yeah this was our initial time when we very first met that I wrote this piece, when we had agreed to just be free and easy, and I called this piece All We'll Ever Be.
All right, the mic is yours.
His long, lean frame and caramel-colored muscles moved like fluid under his navy blue sweats. At 6.5 feet, he looked like he might have come from the NBA. But I was caught by his eyes. Slightly sleepy looking, but deep as the ocean and the color of buckwheat honey. And he saw me without watching, but I knew. I glanced him as he entered the door, but acted as if I didn't see. It had to be his idea. He was too sure of himself to follow my lead. So I smiled and I glanced, and just for a split second, he saw me. The seed was planted. A quick joke in my direction and my knees grew weak. I prayed I'd see him again. And so later, conversations came easy. Side glances raised the temperature of the room, and an arm on the back of the sofa invited me into his embrace. His slow, easy manner let me know it was okay to relax. His long arm draped around my shoulder and extends his big hand to my thigh, and my heart races when his warm mouth kisses my forehead. He's completely in control, but allows me to call the shots. This is definitely his party, but the pleasure is all mine. He says, "You're thinking too much." So I try and close down my racing mind, but the nearness of him is intoxicating. The scent of pheromones and laundry soap and the sound of his slow drawl and sunlight on those eyes. I could so get lost in him, but I can't, because this is meant for pure pleasure, no strings. It is the feel of his flesh on mine, the taste of his kisses, the thunderous releases of pent-up frustrations and the pleasures of just being held. This is what we are. So yes, he's right. No thinking, just acting. And no feelings, just feeling. For however long he allows, and I can make time, I cohort and compadre, lover and friend, distant companion and close confidant, just not mine, nor I his. We be I and he, but not we. And unless his heart changes, that's all we'll ever be. Poem.
Nice. Very, very nice. What a beautiful tribute, that piece. It must have been an emotional roller coaster for you to write and pen. You probably stopped a few times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can feel the emotions in the piece and feel the changes that you were going through. You know, I'm kind of geeky, kind of nerdy, so I kind of pay attention to the changes in the context of the pieces. That's why I know you had to pause, because it was pulling on you.
When it started out, like I said, it started out to be fun, but you know, as time went on, he started to reveal that he really had emotions for me, and then he started referring to me as beloved. That was what he called me, and so we grew really close, but when it got to the point where we could be together is when he got sick. And when he got sick, everything happened so quickly. He got sick in September, and he was gone before Christmas.
Wow.
So it was never fulfilled. Yeah.
I'm definitely sorry for your loss in that. Yeah, definitely sorry for your loss.
He was a different kind of person in my life, and I'm grateful for what I had with him, even though it couldn't have been, you know, it didn't become more. But what we had was good, and I'll always remember him that way.
Beautiful. Just simply beautiful. All right, Miss Lips. I'm going to send you over to the VIP lounge so that you can grab your glass of bubbly and pull those emotions back in check. But I
definitely
thank you for sharing that, you know, sharing that beautiful tributed piece.
Thank you.
Just phenomenal, right? No, thank you. Stick around and enjoy the rest of the show, okay?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Lisa Lips with that dynamic piece on her way to the VIP lounge. Next up, we got my brother, King Atterbury. What's good with you, King?
What's going on, man? I'm just here, man. You know, rocking and rolling. You know how I do, man.
Absolutely, brother. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you from stepping away from the plantation for a hot second to join in on this.
True indeed, so bro.
So let's go ahead and let's dive into it, man. Why do you think that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife and boys are not taught to be husbands? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, me, it's a double standard. I feel like it could possibly be an era thing, you know, from what our parents or grandparents, whoever was going to household or whatever, was taught and how they was raised up. And then society, you know, society breaking down people. And sometimes the girls, they learn a lot faster because the women are like, look, there's no man in here. I'm holding it down. I'm doing this, that, and the other. But at the same time, you know, we have to pay more attention. Sometimes we don't. We be out there doing our thing. You know what I'm saying? So we don't learn until an older age.
Come on, bro.
The people that we see. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be your friends, family. I know I have. I used to see my homeboy family. My parents wasn't married. So, you know, I used to see my homeboy like, yo, y'all got it made. You know, mom and dad up in there married and everything. Good jobs and everything like that. You know, but then you got other households you in and you see the broken family dynamics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, mom holding
it
down.
Yeah.
And there's a few of my homies is like that. You go in, it's just the moms. You know what I'm saying? Holding everything down.
Right.
The pops is somewhere, or he ran off or whatever. They just didn't make it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then you get older, maybe in your 20s or whatever, and you, like, looking at things, like, from a different perspective. You know what I mean? Like, yo, is this what it's all about? You know?
Man, you know what's, you know what's crazy, man? What's crazy is when I was a boy, the only portrayal of marriage I saw was on television.
That's true also.
That's the only portrayal I saw. I mean, my great-great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, she was married. And I may have spent maybe in a year, I may have maybe spent like maybe 4 or 5 visits with her. To see that marriage dynamic, and what I saw definitely didn't look like what I was seeing on television. So, you know, my great grandmother, she was married, but by the time I was born, or you know, growing up, she was divorced, or her husband had passed on, you know. And then my grandmother was also married, but she was divorced. I got to see my grandfather periodically. She was divorced. You know, so when it came to my mom and dad, they were never married. My mom actually married an African who she never stayed with him. We was always in the same house, even though she married him. I think she married him for money, you know, to help get into the country, something like that. But yo, so for me as a boy growing up, I wanted to be married because I wanted to break the cycle, and I wanted to have someone that I can grow old with, someone that I can be with. And I seen all these marriages on TV, man. I'm looking at all these little sitcoms, man. I saw the Cosby Show, man. My mind was lit. Like, yeah, that's the kind of marriage I want right there. Yeah, right there, that right there. But it never happened. It never happened that way. Right? So, you know, I took my examples of being a husband from all of the different shows that I watched and what to do and what not to do. But clearly I wasn't successful. Maybe those shows was bad for me because I'm divorced twice now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Go ahead, bro.
You know, but I don't think. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Sorry about that. No, I was saying my grandparents, they were married. They raised me and my brothers. So we saw the working dynamics of my grandfather, and we still saw the love in it. They get into their little bickering stuff, but as a youth, you didn't meddle up in their business like that. You just saw what it was. So with me personally, that's why my work ethics are the way they are. But at the same time, I saw a lot of family members, friends, and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? When I get married the second time, it's going to be communication. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And I put all that on the table, I mean, even though it didn't last. but it's all good. You still learn the lessons at an older age when you was much more mature. Sometimes we feel like we mature at a certain age, and we just not.
Nah, man, you know? I'm still learning, man, because –
I'm still learning, man.
I'm 47 years old now, and I'm still learning, man. It's, you know, I think one of the most interesting questions that I get is, well, what did you learn from your two marriages? I said, whoa.
Oh.
I said, there's a lot there that I learned. There's a whole lot there. But I tell you this. I said the first thing that I learned was that it's expensive. Getting married and divorced. Oh, it's expensive.
Oh.
Expensive. You know, that's why Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer says it's a contract, because it is. It's a contract.
I believe
you know, it's
it,
a
yeah.
business.
Right. I was right about that when a contract.
Yeah.
Contact,
it's a business
contract.
Merger. You know? Yeah, it's a business yeah. merger. And it gets more hairy when you start having employees, meaning your kids. They're employees,
right.
You know. But yeah, man, but, you know, it's just one of those things, man. And I just think that, you know, because I grew up in a single-parent household. My mom raised you know, me and my brother. My younger
right.
brother, my mom died when he was like 3-4 years old. So he didn't know her. You know,
right.
he didn't know her. So, you know, but my mom was doing a good job, man, you know, and I was just like, man, I said, I don't never want to be like my father. Man, you know, my father told me the other day, man, you the only one that like me. I said, what? No, the devil is a lie. Oh, the devil is a lie. But you know, and my father, he did marry another woman. I never met that woman a day in my life. Never met her.
Right.
And that's just the crazy dynamics of broken families, bro. And being, you know, and not being taught, not being raised, you know, but it's what it is, man. It's what it is.
I just
but,
saw what love what love is, you know what I'm saying? Like my dad died when he was 32, so his relationship, you know what I'm saying, even his marriage, you know what I'm saying, I saw the love right there, like the hugging
right.
and kissing and everything like that, the walking togetherness and all, the arguments and all that too, and the making up and stuff like that. But, you know, I just was like, man, I just said to myself, I'm going to be my own person. I ain't going to be into all that shit. But, you know, you got to break
right.
cycles, like you said.
Yeah, definitely. Well, bro, now that we gotten that out the way, man, thank you for sharing your honest thoughts, your honest opinions. I always appreciate you. But
no doubt, man. Appreciate you too, man.
What piece you want to do tonight?
This is a piece I titled Young Prince and Princess.
Oh, I like it. I like it. The mic is yours, bro. All
right. In life, whatever's fair, it depends on who is there. Embrace the love and care and disperse it to the air. Whether you're fully nurtured or mature enough to see, the house where you sleep and wake up may not be easy. For those that expose what it takes to be a fill in, appreciate the lesson on those dealings. Observe the man who is strong with the will to persevere. Watch the woman who expressed only the best without a tear. Expression fall deep when you don't seek what is to meet. It's the hidden knowledge that you find and want to keep. Age up to a level of wanting better and wine. This message to future kings and queens, husband and wives. Myself, I was a watcher of others who didn't know about a young prince searching doses of higher hope. Writings left behind on a note did not exist. Obvious what was shown and seen through hug and kiss. So being a fly on the wall, what was seen, saw, and more was a caption that was happening and digested even with flaws. So open doors for a king who was once a young prince can find a way like queen from a princess to make sense. King.
Man, yes, sir, bro. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about, man. Y'all hear this? Do y'all hear this? Do y'all hear this poetry? Bro, you said, hold on. You said, observe the man who is strong with the will to persevere. watched a woman who expressed only the best without a tear. Bruh.
Whoa.
You got some lines in this piece, bro. You got some serious lines in this piece.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
No, man, I appreciate you, man, for inking it, man, and bringing it to us tonight, man. It's an awesome piece, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. Always glad to be here, man, and show up and write for the show, man. Sometimes I want to come on here and freestyle. I heard what you said earlier, but I write, like you said, I write too much, man. And my computer system keeps going. I got a lot of RAM.
Bro, listen. I'd be freestyling. I'd be putting like 6 or 7 pieces together at one time because all of that stuff is in my head, you know. But before I send you over to the VIP lounge to grab, sneak you a glass of that champagne before you head back into the work field, man. Let everybody know what you got that jumps off on Tuesday nights, man.
On Tuesday, we took a little break from the Poetry Corner, which is Let's Talk channel on Facebook and YouTube. But we'll be back real soon on Tuesdays, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and well, a lot of poets come on in. We spit our pieces and get busy on that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we coming back real soon. Yeah,
absolutely, can't wait, man. I'm looking forward. I love the platform. I love what y'all do, man. You make the poetry visible. You make it visible, man, for us to be able to really connect visually.
That's what it's about, man. Connectivity.
Dope. No. Yes, sir. Appreciate you, good brother, man. Get on over there in the lounge, man. Sneak your glass of that bubbly, man. I won't tell if you won't tell.
No doubt. Peace, love, and one mic.
Peace, one mic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is King Atterbury, my brother, host of Let's Talk Poetry Corner. Man, yeah, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m., yeah, when he comes back, man, y'all should definitely have a chance to check it out. Or if you want to just go back to the archives and take a look at it on YouTube, just look at some of the older shows, man. Some of your favorites are there, including me, you know. So check it out. Let me go ahead and do this rundown real quick, give you the Epiphany lineup. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night, Sunday night, for the Inspiration Factor with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night is the Soul Cafe with your hosts, For Real, the poet Douglas, author Larry Maddox, the CEO himself, La Perla Negra, Essentially Janice, and yours truly, Poetic. Tuesday night, y'all, the Honey Dripper is back. Whew, and his short story, Ransom Notes. Oh, man, y'all better tune in. Wednesday night, the Love Zone is VIP and La Perla Negra. Thursday night is the Get Down with your host, J. Rob, the wise son, and yours truly, Poetic. And you never know, we might have another guest host. I mean, because our guest host for this week was Rebel P. Jones, and what a dynamic job that he did. And then Friday night, y'all, will be the turn of Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. Make sure y'all tune in. And then Saturday night, y'all, will be La Perla Negra and Stan the Man Phillips for Poetic Therapy. Man, Epiphany Radio got you fixed. We got what you need. You are heard when you come to Epiphany Radio, Spreaker, Spotify, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play, Cashbox, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube. Man, listen, come through. Spit your stuff. Be heard. This is a place for it. Now let's keep this party going. Next up on the mic, we got, speaking of Honey Dripper, War Council, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Thanksgiving, and all that good stuff. Fly Speak. Yo, we got Iron Man himself, y'all, Mojave. What's good with you, bro?
Oh, what's happening? I'm sorry, I just came slap through. Hold on, let me cut my music down. Sorry. Quick, fast, don't hurry. Sorry. Let me pause this for a second.
That's my joint right there. Puddles.
Oh, that's the joint.
That's my joint right there.
That's the joint. You know how we do over here in the Piffy Radio.
Absolutely.
We play good music. We make sure
like that good
music
bro.
It's Irie. We have to make sure everything is Irie. Anyway.
Yeah, bro. So listen, man. First of all, welcome to Let's Talk About It, man. Hopefully you had a great day, man, and you're doing well.
You know how my day was. I was being followed by animals. It wasn't cool. That's not cool. That's not cool.
Man, listen,
and I took pictures
you,
just to be like you. Yeah.
I told you the universe is trying to talk to you, bro. It's trying to talk to you, bro. You better go ahead and listen, man. You've got to listen, man. Anytime you got deer walking up to you, you know, birds hanging out, you know, the universe is trying to listen. The universe is feeling for you.
Okay. All righty then.
The animals are saying that, hey, look, we want some of that Mojave energy too. Give it to them, bro.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. All right, so what is the question for this evening?
The question for the evening, man, is simply this. Why is it that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife, but boys are not taught to be husbands? What is your thoughts on that?
What else are we supposed to use to maintain the patriarchy of white supremacy as well as patriarchy in general? Is by telling people they have to sit there and maintain stuff, and you should be subservient by becoming a wife as opposed to being a partner, as opposed to actually being a person that actually contributes to building something together, which, if in an egalitarian sense that marriage is, it's supposed to be a covenant of give and get, you know, give and get, you know,
right.
a balance
right.
of some sorts, and sometimes it'll be anything else. Well, who else would want to maintain that by saying that? And most archaic ideas, even with the idea of people buying wedding bands and rings, was all made up by people who decided that marketing was a good thing in order to get things that they want. So they helped to implant this suggestion through nature and nurture into our culture that women should be wives. And even though a wife is probably one of the best things that a man could ever have and find when it works, how it's supposed to work, when it's supposed to be working, it becomes a true covenant, an agreement, and a partnership between the two, and it's a business relationship as well.
Right.
It's easy to make girls feel, you know, young ladies feel as if they should grow up to be there, to be subservient to the person that they marry, as opposed to boys supposed to go out and conquer and do all these things, do what you will, and everything else is happening. And on the flip side of that, just to be sure, If we're going to talk, with black men in particular, because we are taught to reject our strength, reject who we're supposed to be, not be virile and strong, and you know, do everything else, and reject the comforting nature and nurture and legend of what we're supposed to be doing, as opposed to everything else, and to also, you know, to be less threatening by these other things, and so. One of the things that I discovered, and this is personal for me, that when my son went to camp, my son was being told that he could put fingernail polish on his fingernail polish. But although this wasn't introduced as a concept here at home, somehow the blue and white woman that he went to camp with decided that that was something that he should do and he should be whatever he wants. I said, no, you're trying to make him effeminate so that he doesn't feel threatening to you because he's the only black kid in here and he's the biggest one in sight.
Wow.
So how else would you do that?
Wow.
This is a particular practice that goes on. So I say that for everything else that's happening is that there's a whole section of young men being taken out by certain things, and there's nothing wrong with being true to yourself and your feelings. Let me be clear. There is nothing wrong with having a different identity than one that's being assigned to you if you feel that in your heart. However, I am very much against people trying to take away someone's essence in order to make them less threatening. That in itself is the same thing. In the same breath as someone saying, you know what, you should grow up and be a wife because this is your aspiration. Well, you can have aspirations and then become a wife. You can be doing
right.
all those things. There needs to be a certain amount of coaching that needs to happen when we talk about the things that work and don't work. Because if we look at today's society, we look at what we see on TV, we look at a lot of gender roles, and we all know that gender roles can be fluid. People can be stay-at-home dad. Shit, I was a stay-at-home dad. I'm not going to sit here in front and say there was anything else. No. The essence of how people see things is all about the lens in which
sure.
who introduces it. You know, so in that sense, but it's fucked up for those things because you say, oh, you know, you're going to grow up and be a wife. You don't have to introduce that. You don't have to plant that seed. Something that should
right.
be discovered because if we look at it, all Most marriages in the United States end in divorce, 50%, and most of them are initiated by women.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's
right. You know, Rain kind of said the same thing as well. Let the kids develop on their own. Let them decide what they want to be. Don't, you know. Oh man, it's just a lot, man. And you know, if you look at it, you know, examples today. I got small kids, and well, I got older kids and small kids. But you know, having a conversation with my 25-year-old is like, you know, I asked him about kids. He said, yeah. He said, I want to make sure I'm in the right place. Make sure I'm good, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he not once mentioned a wife. Never, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, me and his mom was talking, and she was like, well, I want him to give me a grandchild. I'm like, that's where you at with this? Like, I'm not ready to be a grandparent. I'm not ready. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I can't do anything about it if it happens. But knowing my son is very, very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a number of years, he was an only child. For 15 years, he was an only child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's very, very selfish, you know, and he's used to getting what he wants, and, you know, I believe in spoiling my kids, but within reason, you know, so I'm waiting for him to come talk to me about the marriage dynamic. I'm waiting, so we'll see how that goes. But you know, to your point, man, you've raised some very, very valid points. Wow, appreciate you for doing that, bro. Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having it and introducing such a good topic. I don't know, is this my phone or something's going on? Like, it's like got that whole extra natural sound to it. I have no idea what's happening.
That might be mine. I got a new headset coming from work, so mine just fell apart on me over the last few days. And yeah. But anywho, what piece did you bring for us tonight?
Well, you know, I'm all about these, you know, because, you know, the Honey Drip is people are like, oh, y'all do is erotic poetry. I said, yeah, all right. So listen, we're going to get past these next couple of joints, and then we're going to do some love. I haven't figured out what the title is going to be, you know, drippy love, you know, the drip does love, you know, something like that. But
okay.
It's going to be
something
dripping.
Like that.
There's going to be love and dripping somewhere in there, right?
That sounds good.
So
I like that.
Yeah, we got to get in these love pieces because people, they don't understand. Like, we don't just write erotica. We are beyond erotica. So, you know, being the format of love pieces and stuff like that, I got this love piece I'm going to do.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You know,
I'm broadcasting right now.
I did a piece at the top of the show, and Rain was like, yeah, you call Mojave love doctor, but your piece was very loving, sir, very, very,
yeah.
But wait till, Rain, wait till you hear Mojave's love piece tonight. So, Mojave, I'm going to step back. What's up, bro?
All right, but, no, I'm just saying, no, I'm good.
All right, the mic is yours, bro.
All right. I think that you need one kiss, one that reminds you of how lips taste when they are covered in newness, hope, and anticipation. Lips that are the asking and acquiesce of a dance, the parting of a chance into reality, the thinking so much that moves into the feel of touch and how you taste so good. Your lips that hover and brush inquisitive minds asking, will the slip of the tongue be too much? But I will stay here, the move from confidence from fear, the moment that feels like a year, the quiet instruction of hands to take command and pass over curves the thigh. Let this kiss not say our goodbyes, but is it over and the opening of eyes, then I want to stand there, interpret the silence as a melody only we have heard, and our lips knowing every word, every note ever heard. One kiss, one to move us into a thousand fathoms deep, moving our conscious selves into the depth of sleep, learning the intimacies of our passion within our lips keep. Poem.
Yo, 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 that was dope. Yo, did y'all hear this? Did y'all hear my hobby? Oh, man, this is beautiful, man. This is beautiful love, man.
Just broadcast a little bit. Just a little bit of a broadcast.
Just some fresh ink, bro. Just some fresh ink.
Oh, man, listen, I've been freshening up ink for a minute, bro. This is what happens, man. I'm about to hop on this honey drip prompt for tomorrow, though. And then do the J. Rose thing. Then do J. Rose, because J. Rose got me on the hotline, your erotic open mic experience as a feature. Yeah. So, well.
Okay. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Congratulations on all your accolades that you got going on, too, bro. I don't want to not mention those because you're dope. You know, you're just so dope. So we appreciate you,
Thank you, bro. I really appreciate that. There's nothing better than me recognizing your peers. Like, that's the most important thing there is. I don't understand what it is. But more importantly, it's also about, you know, pouring into people and making sure that they rock. That's why I'm like, I'm excited about you coming tomorrow because I'm like, finally. You know,
yes, sir.
This man
yes,
has
sir.
All kinds of administrative privileges and don't use nothing. So, yeah, all kinds of privileges.
Man,
gave him all kinds of privileges.
Just busy, bro. You know, just busy, man. And life is actually
that's a good busy though.
Slow down. You know, I'm actually about to be a little bit more freer. So I'm going to be doing some things. I'm going to be saying some things. So,
once again, it's on.
Yes, sir. But before I send you over to the VIP lounge, man, let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're paying attention, you're listening to the words that I'm saying, you should understand that next Tuesday on Epiphany Radio Universe, there will be the Honey Drippers Erotic Poetry Collective doing its erotic storytelling series known as The Ski Mask Way, Part 2. The Ransom Note. All erotic storytelling, no erotic poems, but storytelling. We only have 10 open mic slots, right? So if you're within the sound of my voice, there are only 10. You must get there as soon as possible. After the 10, if you come in late, you're going to have to wait till after all the drip goes. And then you can hop in, and it'll probably be way deep into overtime because these erotic storytelling shows go pretty long, and they're pretty sexy. You might need a towel. Get yourself some cold press. You know, pull out your favorite tools, toys, or what have you. Roll something, smoke something. Understand whatever you got to do to make yourself get comfortable, but understand you are in for the ride. The Ski Mask Way, Part 2, The Ransom Note. Who are you trying to rescue? So there you go.
Yes, sir, my brother. Absolutely looking forward to it, man. Cannot wait. Now, let's get you on over to that VIP lounge so you can grab you a glass of bubbly.
I'm just out there. Listen, I'm just going out there to do the naked huckabuck. Why not? Just be naked with the huckabuck. Nobody should mind.
Oh, Lord. Oh, man.
Anyway. All right,
bro. Get on over there, man.
Pleasure, good sir. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the very dope show. I appreciate you. That's right.
All right, brother. Stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Mojave, host of War Council, Hidden, Honey Dripper. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Thanksgiving, all that good stuff. But Honey Dripper is this coming Tuesday, so make sure y'all tune in. All right, let's keep this party going. Next on the mic, we have Tamika. Hey, Tamika, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the show. How's your day been? Your day was all right?
Thank you. My day was good. It was really, really good. Enjoy myself.
Glad to hear. Awesome. Awesome. I noticed your first time here. So before we get to what it is that you'd like to do, you have to answer my question. Can you handle that?
I can handle it.
All right. So tell me, in your opinion, why is it that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife, but boys are not taught to be a husband? What are your thoughts on that?
I think generally there's a standard on women that it's more acceptable for them to be nurtured and kind of groomed and prepared for a family. It's actually crazy that, you know, most people know that they look to the man to be the leader and the head, but in more instances than few, the women are actually the ones who hold the family together, who take, you know, just more lead and kind of doing things behind the scenes, even if the men look that way. So, you know, the women are hands-on with the children, and so naturally the nurturing falls from the from them on down to the kids. A lot of times the men are just kind of either financially responsible and, you know, don't have a lot of input with raising their children to raising their sons to, you know, be examples.
Right.
Men, so it's just like, you know, they don't have that modeled in front of them. The women are home, so kids watch their moms cook, clean, look after their siblings. So it's like it's modeled before them.
Oh, man, that's some really, really good points. That is some really good points. I agree that the women do hold the households together. You know, oftentimes if a grandmother dies or a great-grandmother dies, you know, families kind of fall apart. You know, they go crazy. You know, I watched it with my grandmother, my mother. They died in the same year, 5 months apart. And I literally watched the family just lose it. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, I knew that, you know, that they were holding it down because the men were absent. You know, the fathers were absent, including my own. So kids seeing the mother at home doing the things traditionally, you know, and now in society, the traditional roles don't even work anymore because the system is so set up now that you need two people to financially support the household. You know, unless you're married to a six-figure earner and that kind of thing, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, right, I wanted to just add also there's not, like, a standard for the men to be present and to show up and be husbands and fathers. I think it's like no one holds them accountable. No one models that before them, and no one holds them accountable. So I think that runs down to.
That's awesome. Absolutely. Totally agree. Man, great response to the topic tonight. Thank you. Thank you for coming through and sharing that. I appreciate you for that.
You're welcome.
Now, what did you bring for us tonight? And it doesn't have to be on topic. It's open mic tonight, so whatever you got is what you got. So what did you want to bring?
I have a song. It's an original. It's called Good Thing.
All right. The mic is yours.
Okay.
Don't let pride make you lose your good thing. Don't let pride make you walk away. Don't you let it, don't you let it, don't you let it, don't you let it, yeah, or not. Don't you let it, don't you let it, don't you let it, don't you let it, oh. You got me feeling like I'm only in the love, like I'm the only one fighting for love. Every time you walk away, I feel hope is gone. Fighting my feelings, trying not to give up. But you about to lose your good thing. No, babe, I don't want you to lose your good thing, babe. Don't let pride make you lose your good thing. Don't let pride make you walk away. Don't you let it, don't you let it, don't you let it, don't you let it. Oh, no. Don't let it, don't you let it, don't you let it, don't you let it. That piece.
I'm a snap, clap. Yo, that's an original. I love that. That's dope. That's really dope. You got some power in those words that you're singing there. Wow. Amazing. Just amazing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Appreciate you for having me on the show.
I appreciate you for coming through, hanging out with me for a little bit. We'll talk a little later about that song, though, because, you know, that's dope. That's dope. We might have to go ahead and get that copyrighted and all that good stuff, you know.
Absolutely.
But that is so dope, so dope. But I'm going to send you off to the VIP lounge so you can grab a glass of champagne and stick around and enjoy the remainder of the show. Can you hang out with me for a little bit longer?
I'll hang out with you.
All right. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my friend Tamika. And, man, did y'all hear what she just put down? Woo. Yeah, so amazing, 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 amazing. Now, let me say that, one, I am not a relationship expert. I've just been in enough relationships to understand that I need clarity on a few things. And the topic tonight stemmed from a conversation that I had with a friend about marriage. And I appreciate everyone's input for chiming in on this. It's a very, very serious thing. And before you get married, you should definitely know why you're getting married, why you want to. You definitely should know. Because if I would have gotten married in today's time, I probably would have never did it, if I'm going to be honest, because it's crazy out here. But we're going to open up the next caller and keep it going. We're going to open up my brother, Just Jay. What's good with you, Just Jay? How you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, man. Glad to hear you.
Yeah, just barely, but enough.
What was you going to say, man? You hate what now?
Man, I love this topic, man, that you got here. And I didn't get a chance to catch the full of it. I'm going to go ahead and go into the archives, man. But, yeah, this is what the dude that you used to do when you were doing the do. When you was doing the do. Yeah, this is
right, right. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you. But let's hear your perspective, Jess J. You know, my brother, let's hear your perspective. Why do you think it's that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife and boys are not taught to be husbands? What are your thoughts on that, bro?
I think that, I'm about to go way off. Women's lib was one of the worst things that ever happened to women. Wow, he's going to be killed. Women's lib, I know when I was coming up as a boy, a young boy, hormones sticking out of his body, always wanted girls to be into sex as much as I was. Mm-hmm. It would make my job a whole lot easier. Back when I was coming up, all the girls swore that they were virgins. Even if you knew she had a reputation, and she knows she had a reputation, if you asked her, she would have said she was a virgin. That was also right around the time when the Barbie doll thing was kicking off real good, and Ken was in the mix, and the girls was always having weddings for their dolls.
Right.
Yes, sir. Even the teddy bears and Mickey and Minnie Mouse, they was always having weddings. I think that's over with. I think it's totally, I think the women have been defeated by what's been going on as far as the when the whole sexual revolution kicked off and the sex was flying free. Women were getting pregnant, and guys was like, well, shoot, I was just with her for some sex. Now this thing became something else. And they start scooting out on them. And there was a lot of resentment that was starting to be built by that generation of fatherless children and the generation of women who had five or six baby daddies, and but none of them were for quarter, according to if you listen to them for a couple of minutes.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I think that's all a direct response from the Women's Liberation Movement. And I believe that women are supposed to have their rights. I'm not no fool. I'm not stupid. I'm not speaking from a stupid point of view. I'm just saying that the baby got thrown out with the bathwater.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Your inbox is going to be flooded. Your inbox is going to be flooded. But you raised some very, very valid points as well. You know, wanting women to be just as physically into sex when we were younger as we were. Right. It would have made the job a lot easier. Versus now, women's lib and. Now women are just out there. Look, I'm into it. Sure, whatever you like, I like. I'm into it, right? You know what I'm saying? And
yeah, I know exactly what you said, man.
Reputation.
And that's the reality.
Yeah, reputation. What reputation? That you know they say yeah I had that was me back when I was younger. My reputation has changed now. Now I'm wide open. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Man,
I know exactly what you're saying. You know.
Go ahead.
You know what? My daughter that was in the sixth grade, man, one day we got a call that, you know, she was fighting with a girl in class. We're like, oh, man, you know, I'm getting tired of this stuff, so on and so forth. And when we got down to the bottom of it, she got into a fight with her friend because she had went into the bathroom. And when she came out of the bathroom, she started bragging to them that, you know, that she had gave a guy a blowjob, a young child,
oh,
another young child a blowjob. My daughter got angry with her and she beat her up, and that's the reason why she got thrown out. But it used to be that girls would never admit to that. If they ain't admitting to having sex, they definitely not admitting to that. But she came right in and said, hey, and it was a ruckus ensued from that. But it's wide open now. It's wide open now.
Yeah, man. And I think it's wide open now because of the advancements in technology and things are very easily accessible now, you know, because what my son sees at 12, man, when I was 12, I was green. Like, what's this? What's that? These kids know more at 12 than I knew by the time I was 16. So
and you was moving around good.
Yeah, and I was moving around good, right? You know, so it's, you know, it's just a combination of things. And you know, I don't even know if in today's times women are still teaching their girls to be wives. And, you know, because I know when I'm teaching my sons, I'm basically teaching my sons like my mom taught me. My mom taught me to be independent. You know, my mom made sure. She said a woman will never be a need for you. She will be a want. You won't need her because I'm going to teach you everything that you'll need to know that you can survive without her. And I was like, and I'm looking at her all strange. Like, Ma, why is you telling me all of this? Because you need.
But I take my hat off to Mama Meadows for that, man. I take my hat off to Mama Meadows for that. She taught you a very good thing. You passing it down to your sons. Right now, you know, these guys, they want to stay at home. And the woman go make the money. Bring back the bacon,
man.
And he takes care of the house.
I can't do that. I like money. I like my own money. You know, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with
well
the men. You know, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the men that do it. It's just not for me. My ambitions are too great. My desires are too great for me to just sit at home and do nothing. I'm sorry. I'm just not built like that. You know, I'm just not built like that. But,
me neither, man. I have a traditional household here, man, you know, and I'm cool with it. You know, I work. She stays here. She makes sure that the house is in order. She takes care of the kids. I'm cool with that. There's a lot of women out here that is really dying to go back to a traditional household, but there's really no way to get back to that, just to be honest with the whole shebang.
Yeah, it's virtually impossible, although I did it. My daughter is 10. My ex-wife was a stay-at-home mom for 5 years, almost 6 years. So,
sweet.
But you know, I was a workaholic, so I'm still a workaholic. People that know me.
I was like, so you're still a workaholic? What you talking about in the past?
Right, I told you that in the past, man. Right,
right, way in the past. Listen,
man,
listen to this guy.
Man, I want my kids to have a lifestyle that I didn't have, and I like
right.
a lifestyle for myself. You know, so there's my kids' lifestyle, then there's my lifestyle. You know, and everybody's like, how does that work? I'm like, man, listen, my kids will tell you right now, Daddy, you got to work. Daddy, you got to work. Daddy's always working. But I make sure I make time out for them, though. I have to. So, but my brother,
right.
now that we've gotten all of the actual factuals out of the way, what piece would you
yes,
like
sir.
To do for us tonight?
Man, I'm going to do a piece, man, that I started to go ahead and do a Thursday, man. About as bad as I am today, man, but the show's still rocking, so I'm gonna go ahead and do it, man. Van, we appreciate everything you do. Van, you are a phenomenal host, a manager, the whole nine, dude. Your stamina is crazy. When you came back from being sick, man, you jumped out there. I wasn't expecting a lot from you, man, but you came in, you delivered, man. That's the truth to all of this stuff as far as, like, you can want to do it, but if you ain't got the stamina to do it, you can't do it.
Absolutely, bro. I mean, I love doing this, man. I love interacting with y'all, man. And, you know, it's one thing for me. I'm kind of greedy, man. You guys inspire creativity in me. So, and plus, life's too short. I might as well do what I love doing, right? You know?
Right. If you got to do something, might as well do what you love doing.
Absolutely. All right, my brother, the mic is yours.
Appreciate you, brother. This ink will be expressed on the parchment transcribed with a split-tailed swallow's plume. It will draw the outline of a truly marvelous creation, the swallow. Airily unrivaled, they seem to weave through invisible bolts of cloth. On a loom that only they can see. Their contortions manipulate the winds, vortexes, and vortices that simply seem to wait and spin as the swallow cuts or bounces off of them. Where the wings swept like an arrow flying through an imaginary barrel, they are the envy of the clumsy sparrow. They even eat, drink, and bathe on the wing. They gather in swarms of undulating bubbles of precision without a single collision. They look like flickering dust in the distance. Their majesticness in such smallness is the design that is exquisite. They have their very own linguistics written into their very existence, and it winds whoever swallows fly. In peace.
Man, Just Jay, yo, man, that was fly. Pun intended, that was fly.
Thanks, bro. literally.
Hey, man, you know, lately these pieces that you've been writing about the birds, man, the swallows, I'm really going to need you to go ahead and create, like, a book for yourself to publish around these type of pieces that you've been writing, because it's pure poetry, and you know, we need to hear a different perspective, and that's what your pieces do. They provide a different perspective into the art through the different metaphors you're using around these birds. So yeah, bro, because you know, my favorite piece of yours is titled Around a Bird. Old silly duck, right? So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
You might as well go ahead, man, and add that to your list of things to do in your spare time. I mean, if you got some spare time with all the other stuff,
right?
You know.
Avian poetry. I got you, bro.
All right, my brother. Listen, man, I'm going to send you on over to the VIP lounge, man, to grab you a glass of that bubbly, man, and champagne, man. I let y'all know, man, I got that champagne imported from Switzerland. So make sure y'all grab some. And just don't tell the CEO where I said it came from, because that bill would be pretty expensive with all the, you know. So just keep it under wraps.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Be easy, man.
I appreciate you too, Just Jay. Likewise. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my brother, Just Jay, on his way to the VIP lounge. Speaking of VIP, next up we got one half host, the other half host of the Love Zone. And if y'all missed her show last night, Express Your Vibe. Woo! My goodness. Miss VIP. Hey, Miss VIP.
Hey, hey, how are you, Poetic? I am so sorry I am late. I've been on the road.
That's all right. That's all right. Better late than never, right? Late than never.
Right.
So you've been listening in.
I have. Interesting topic. Yeah. Go ahead and ask the question.
So now you know that I can't let you not come here and not respond to the topic since you find it so interesting, right? So tell me, Ms. VIP.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that girls are taught at a young age to be a wife and boys are not taught to be husbands? What are your thoughts?
Now, I want to tell you something. I wasn't really taught, and when I coming up in the 60s and the 70s like I have, it seemed that the women were always holding the house down while the men went out to work. And then as I grew up, you know, women started moving out a little more, like going to work and doing whatever they needed to do. I can always think of, you know, there's always somebody nurturing somebody. You know, a woman nurturing a little girl, you know, mentors and things like that. And I always thought that, wow, boys need that too. You know, little boys need that too. And so in respect to men being husbands, I only had maybe two examples in my whole entire life. And so that's my grandfather and my stepfather, whom I call father, you know what I'm saying? So the thing is, they actually provided examples. They held hands. They kissed daily. They kissed nightly. They dated, you know. They actually held doors open, and they provided a lot of example on how a man should treat a woman. And it's funny because thinking of, like, the male aspect part of it, when my first husband and I broke up, they still came over. He still came over. He treated me with respect as I did him. So Jordan, so my daughter could see this is how a man is still supposed to treat your mama or a woman. And so he was all right example as well. I have to admit. He wasn't the best spouse, but he was a good father. And he never disrespected me as mother or as a woman in that aspect, okay?
Okay.
So with that, that's how that is with me. Women, they say that women are natural-born nurturers, but some are, some aren't. So, but that's my take on that. No one really taught me. I just looked around, and I was like, wow.
Okay. So you kind of took my approach. You kind of took my approach. Didn't have a real example. I searched for examples. So I appreciate that, and I can respect that. I can respect that perspective, absolutely, because you grew up in a different time, in a different era.
I did.
There was a lot going on. There was a lot going on in the era when you were growing up. You know, so, you know, with me growing up in the 70s and the 80s, it's like my time was different, you know. Segregation was just becoming real for us, There were those other underlying factors that, you know, living in the projects, I saw things differently. So,
right.
You know, the projects is made for single parent households, and mm-hmm. the men that were there were boyfriends, you know,
right.
or pop in, pop out baby daddy. So,
right.
you know,
exactly.
But
mm-hmm. in and out.
You know, yeah. So, yeah, dope perspective.
And I see that
absolutely.
Today. I see that today. Mm-hmm. They're
yeah.
in and out. They're
yeah.
not husbands. They're in and out,
yeah.
which is sad. That's very sad because children suffer as a result of the parents' mistakes. They suffer.
Yeah. yeah.
And they don't hang in
Absolutely.
There. They don't have that stick it to it, and it's like the old school love there.
Yeah. and I, whew, yeah. Because,
yeah.
You know, cause yeah. my great grandmother, she told me before she passed on, you know, we would talk, you know, she was like my best friend. And she would tell me, she's like, baby, just remember when you get older and you decide to get married, you get married one time. You don't do it multiple times. Well, I failed that.
yeah.
So, you and I both.
right.
So, you know, so that's what it is. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, I'm
yes.
anxious to hear, sorry, before I do that, dynamic show, by the way, last night from what I'm hearing.
Thank you.
I can't wait to listen
you.
To the archive. You know, I'm going to listen to it tomorrow so I can see what La Perla La Negra did to everybody. So I'm gonna check it out. So now.
There you go. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Now, what piece do you have for us tonight?
This is called Evolution of Love. It's an old one, but it kind of goes in with where this is. So
okay, all right. The mic is yours.
Okay, thank you. Evolution of Love. As a child, I lived love. And, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Everything was coming in at one time. I'm sorry. As a child, I lived love. It flowed throughout the house. I saw a real man who loved his wife. She was the backbone of the home. Home was his castle where he reigned, but his woman sat on his throne. As a teenager, love kept growing through sickness, ups and downs. I never doubted, always knowing love would win all the time. This house of mine, love always abounds. Love seemed stronger as I became grown. Tried it myself a couple of times. I took my responsibility of the failure on all sides. But in this home, love still abides. They still held hands, kissed day and night. His body began to fail. I became scared. If he left, what would become of the love they shared? Even in the hospital, she put on her makeup going to see her man. I still saw love, even to the end. When he died next to her, it was in God's plan. She got out her Bible and prayed as his soul went to Jesus. The love remained in this house. It stayed. Spirit never dies. There is love magnified in her to stay. She sees him in her sleep. Love transcends time. Until she sees him again, she prays her soul for God to keep. And that's that piece.
Oh, man. That was beautiful. Evolution of Love. I like that. I really like that. You know.
Thank you. That was my grandparents until the end.
Man. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was beautiful. Man, that was beautiful. This is like a second tribute piece that was done tonight, and I love tribute pieces because it gets to the core of you and your expression
mm-hmm.
as a poet, as a writer, but for the love of someone
mm-hmm.
else, and it's real personal.
Yeah.
And they provided they provided you with that inspiration to be able to write the piece. And this is just an amazing
yes.
write as well.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you for bringing it and sharing that with us. But before I send you over to the VIP lounge to get your bubbly, let everybody know what you got going on in the universe.
Yes. about to call Danielle the sexy salt all of them at the same time except for the Zen. But my diva will be in the house with me in the love zone, and the topic is not—it's not set in stone as of yet. But you know, you will know when the time comes. And not this Friday, but next Friday will be Express Your Vibe once again, and we have a lot of fun.
Guess what? I'm going to be available to co-host with you.
Well, that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Now, yeah. I can't wait.
I didn't understand. I need a lesson.
That's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It happens. It happens to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm going over to the VIP lounge.
I can use
you know, don't go to the right. The curtain is up for a reason. That's where Danielle is with the security team. So just be careful. You know, should you decide to go over there, that's, you know, enter at your own risk. I'm just letting you know.
I'll just hang with Joe.
Okay, good job.
I'll hang with him. Good job.
All right, Ms. VIP. Stick around. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Ms. VIP. Again, you can catch her this coming Wednesday, 9 p.m., and every other Friday at 9 p.m. So let's keep this party going. But before we keep it going, you're tuned into Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, it's Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number, if you were listening online, it doesn't even matter because they got cut off because they didn't dial in. So we're in the overtime hour. But I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. And tonight's topic, y'all, why do you think is that daughters are taught at a young age to be a wife, but boys are not taught to be husbands? So let's talk about it. Next up, area code 803. Welcome to Let's Talk About It. Who do we have on the mic?
Peace. This is DJ John B., the boy wonder, a.k.a. John Thomas.
Hey, how you doing, my brother? Peace. Good to have you here. Thanks for coming through.
Appreciate you. Just coming off of a good vibe. Just finished Everybody in the Poetry Route, if you know Bugsy Calhoun, just finished his wedding.
Yes, sir.
DJ'd his wedding.
Yes, sir.
So
absolutely.
It was a vibe. It was a celebration, and black love is prevalent. And it kind of ties into the topic.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about it. What are your thoughts on it? Congratulations, Bugsy and Karen.
I guess I'm going to take the opposition side of it, because I don't believe that males weren't taught how to be husbands. I mean, in my mind.
Come on. Yes, sir.
In my mind, I was raised by my grandparents, and I was raised under good times, right? Scratching and surviving.
Yes, sir.
That was black love. That was husband and wife,
yes, sir,
in the project. It wasn't like, so that it makes this question raises the question for me to think of, was James Evans not groomed to be a husband? Because if he wasn't, why was he a bona fide certified? You know what I'm saying? Why did he play his position the way that he did? He wasn't groomed to be a king and a husband. And the gender roles thing for me, it's Stone Age. I don't think that there's no role for anybody, because at this point in the world and times in the world, everybody loves everybody. So you can't place a male, female,
yes, sir,
him, her. There's no pronoun to put on it. So it's kind of a null and void situation, because it's too many variables to make anything work. But like I said, the same thing as a man, I know that I was raised off of seeing men work. I was raised off of seeing men raise their children. I was raised off of men treating their wives like wives. So I was raised that way. I don't know.
Right, that's good.
The generation
good.
Now
that's
that
good.
We're at,
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
generation probably was raised off the Migos, and ain't nothing get straight but straight, whatever
right.
that means.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. I feel that, you know. And, you know, I wasn't raised that way, the way that you were raised.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in broken households, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you are in would be considered a minority percentage-wise of this scenario. That percentage is so small of the number of men who fit what you have seen. You know, because
if I take a look at it, you look at it as this, though. In that situation, it's a generation removed or a generation behind, because I was raised by my grandparents. I'm not saying that let me be transparent in the situation, saying I don't know who my father was, is, and whoever will be. I was raised by my grandparents, so I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So
gotcha.
I was raised in knowing what the old school, girl, you know, I love you.
Right.
That
absolutely.
Portion.
Absolutely.
But,
and see,
yes,
I too
can connect with you on that.
Yeah.
My mom
yeah.
raised me as a thug. You know what I'm saying? My mom
right.
was that
right.
person
right.
that raised me, and who, you know what I mean? That portion of
gotcha.
It, yeah.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, from 14, because I lost my grandmother and my mother in the same year at 14 years old. So my great-grandmother raised me from 14 to 18. So I got a good mixture, you know, and my great-grandmother was like, you know, when she took us, she's in her 60s. You know what I'm saying? So the
and how are you
she
supposed
lived in,
to raise a child?
Right,
they're trying to raise
right.
you from the 60s,
from exactly,
the
60s, bro, exactly
type of raising.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, bro. Like I'm so glad
bro.
I tapped in tonight. This is blessed,
man. Me too, man. Me too. I'm glad you tapped in too, bro. I'm glad to have you here, man. Because you brought a perspective that hasn't been brought yet, and I'm so glad that you took it from the other side, which makes me happy, because we don't learn if we don't talk, and we don't talk if we don't know. So being
exactly.
that you
it's not
from the other
side, it's not an opposite side of the situation.
No.
It's just the
right.
transparent side of the situation.
Yes,
because
sir. Yes,
it's probably like 3 or 4 people on this line that they press 1 that are feeling the same way. That's just like, oh, yes. Because
right.
I was on the way home like, yeah, like, initially, I'm like, nah, son, my mama said, you know what I'm saying? But, like,
right,
literally,
right.
I'm like, no, I have to understand, like, and walk it back and be like, nah, yeah, because some people who are like that, and this is how I live. But at the same time, my being raised was not just by my mother and my father. It was like my mom's gave me to my grandparents. And
right.
most of us
right.
didn't get raised by our grandparents. And our grandparents wasn't having shit. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't having it. They wasn't playing the radio.
Right.
They said.
Nah, bruh. My grandmother was not playing. You understand? She was,
mm-hmm.
she did not play. You know, she taught me a whole lot of values that shaped me into the man I am today. And I thank God for her. Because if it wasn't for her, my mom's 4 kids would have been in foster care. She chose to step in with my absent father. She chose to step in and say, nah, I'm going to raise these kids.
And the fact that you honor her to this day is the reason why you continue to elevate and strive the way that you're doing, as you're doing right now, straight up.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that, man. Likewise, you too, man. You too.
You know,
you know. Yes, sir.
Our
yes, sir.
Ancestors carry us, yo. If we wasn't, If we didn't do it for them, well, who would we be doing it for? Because our kids
definitely.
And our future is going to be doing the same thing. They're going to be like, yo,
yep.
Oh, they was doing that open mic on the phone. You press one.
Yeah, yeah, man, you press one. Yep.
They're
yes,
going to be teleporting in 20 years. They're going to be doing the Star Trek shit 20 years from that.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Ooh, I remember when all you had to do was press one, but now you just, woo, and you right here. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Listen, man, I appreciate you chopping it up with me, man. But we got another part of this, man, which is where you get to express your poetry, man. What piece
got,
you want to share with us tonight?
I got one for you called I ain't gonna tell you the name. This is gonna just spit.
Go ahead, brother. The mic is yours.
Tears drop down like atom bombs, dropping mushroom clouds of confusion. Who's losing? We, nigga. Because they get away when they call us that. White tears strike fears in the hearts of black men with beards because we all look alike. And when we go left because of it, it ain't right. Because it ain't white. And COINTELPRO is real. Still, you thought it was over when Fred, Huey, and MLK got killed. White tears only blackened by Black Lives Matter, debated to the point of all lives matter. And since realize, I stay woke, because Badu is a red bone. Or am I being childish? Let me sit back with my backpack and unpack this knowledge. His name was Justin. When Justin turned 21, he bought a gun. 22, he bought a 22 rifle. At 22, he bought a 223, so that makes three. He studied literature like Mein Kampf, cookbooks of anarchy. One day, Jordan felt privileged and just a little demented, so he woke up and sprayed a club. Took the gun out that he bought out at 21 to his head and took one shot with Jordan's clock. It was stopped, and his game was over. Her name was Aisha. She was a girl I never had because her father was a military man. Always kept us sheltered until college. He couldn't help it. Then Aisha went out to turn up dancing enough. If you bunk crunk like she ain't give a fuck, she was struck in the back of her head. And just like that, all of her father's protection was not there to teach her of a lesson. Now she's on T-shirts. She's a topic of discussion on NBC. Freshman college gunned down, and now we're talking about tears. We need to be talking about tears. Being locked down 23 hours a day for 23 grams of cocaine, tears, white tears, all the tears your heart couldn't cry. And now them tears become a good cry.
Yo, oh my God, man. I felt the pain and the emotions in this piece, bro. Metaphors was crazy, but what's more important is the truth that was spit in this piece. Phenomenal, bro. Phenomenal ink, bro. I appreciate you for that, man. Real talk, man.
I'm gonna go sit in the VIP with a smock on and put my head.
Yes, sir.
Let me cover up in the VIP right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, man, listen, man, we're here 7 days a week, bro. Anytime you want to come through, man, and get on and spit, man, we here for you, man. We got different platforms each day of the week, man. You just come through, man. You can sit and listen, and then you know feel like you want to press one and jump in queue. Do that, man. But come through, man. You're more than welcome anytime.
Hey, this is my first time here in the battle, and that's the first time I jumped on, so it's definitely going to not be my last time, so I'm here. This is definitely a good platform to make that happen.
I appreciate you, man, and I definitely appreciate you being here, and I look forward to hearing you and seeing you in the future.
You are ready.
Already. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's my brother John, man. He came through on his way to the VIP lounge and shut it down, man. And, man, Did y'all hear that piece, though? The realness, the emotions, the pains. This is what we're talking about, man. Oh, man. And I could go on and on and on. But, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for hanging out with me on your Saturday, spending a few hours with me, you know. But we do date night differently. Let's talk about it. Again, join us tomorrow night where it will be the Inspiration Factory, a profanity-free platform with the host, Divine Inspiration, a.k.a. Paul Sampson, and yours truly, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. We're going to do it differently tomorrow night, y'all. So make sure y'all come through. Press one. Get on the mic. Be an inspiration to somebody. You know, we love to have you there. Epiphany Radio, one love, one mic. Continue to take y'all socks off. Good night, y'all. Peace.